rent sucks. High mortgage interest rates suck, and high home prices suck. So what do? All this sucking makes me think of the face that you make when you suck on something sour like a lemon. So here comes my cheesy dad comment. Your landlord and the housing market are a big bucket of lemons, so let's figure out how to make some lemonade. Okay, fine. Play the music. Hey homies, a quick interruption before I start the episode because I have some majorly exciting news. The How to Buy a Home podcast and me, your host, David Sidoni, we're going on the road. Come and get your questions about home buying answered from me directly, live and in person. And our first stop is Dallas, Texas. Yeah, baby, it only took me 5 years, but the unicorns are finally bringing me out on the road, and I'm going to be live in Dallas on Monday, April 1st. And no, this is not an April Fool's joke. This is real. This is legit. I am literally, used correctly, coming to Dallas for a live event on Monday, April 1st. It's free, and there'll even be some refreshments out there, so you can save some money on dinner because I know you're all on a budget trying to save up for a down payment and closing costs. To get the information, email info@howtobuyahome.com, put Dallas in the subject. That's info, like information, info@howtobuyahome.com, put Dallas in the subject. We're taking the revolution to the people. It is time to discuss the new rules for how to buy a home in 2024. And guess what? I'm actually going to stick around in Dallas, and if you can't make it or you're not in Dallas, the next day, Tuesday, April 2nd, me and JT, who maybe you've heard in the background on the podcast, we're going to be doing a YouTube Live. So that's for everybody in North America the very next day, 6 p.m. Central Time, Tuesday, April 2nd. That's going to be on my YouTube channel at How to Buy a Home. Q&A live with me. If you've got questions about either one of these, email info@howtobuyahome.com for questions. Again, Monday, April 1st, live in person in Dallas. If you can't make that, the next night, Tuesday, April 2nd, Q&A on YouTube at How to Buy a Home. Come see me live in Dallas or online on YouTube, and let's talk about how you can do this. Email info@howtobuyahome.com. What is up, my How to Buy a Homies? How is everybody? A little cheesy from the beginning there, huh? Cheese, lemons. Gosh, it's the end of the day. I'm hungry. I'm your host and your revolution rabble-rouser, David Sidoni, and today we are making lemonade out of the question, is it better to rent than buy right now? Now, I am going to suggest as we get into answering this question that perhaps you think about maybe a dash or two of vodka in that lemonade, because things can definitely seem a bit sour if you don't have all the information and you're looking at the crazy housing market. You know what? I'll even give you a little head start with that. Today, when I got out of bed, it sounded like someone stepped on bubble wrap as every joint in my body cracked because I am old. Drink! We are just heading into the busy spring season of the 2024 housing market, so let's tackle this origin story of questions the first-time home buyers have. Buying versus renting. Is it better to rent or buy? Okay, as an old-ass dude, drink again. Hey, look, now I do suggest this. If you feel the need to get more hammered while you take in this information, go ahead and add more vodka into your lemonade right now, and then dip the rim of the glass in sugar, so it's sweeter going down. Anyway, as I was saying, as an old dude, drink again, who has been doing this for 18 years now as I record this podcast, let me tell you exactly what I have seen when people come to me calculating the rent versus buy equation. Probably the biggest mistake, and it's not their fault, it's just the way people present it to them, is they're asking the question, is it cheaper to rent than to buy right now? Now, that's the mistake, because you're asking, is it cheaper to rent with my monthly payment than it is for a monthly payment to buy a home? People get caught up in the numbers of today, and they see more logic in trying to time their first purchase based on that question of how much the monthly payment is going to be. assuming that they're going to be able to time a cheaper period somewhere in the future where the monthly numbers are more in their favor. And assuming that if they do that, if they work the timing, that is, of course, the best way for them to get a strong financial win, right? I mean, that makes sense. Well, grab your lemonade vodka drinks, because here's the truth bomb. It is just not mathematically true, and never more untrue than when we are heading into an appreciating market. If you're looking for information on that, check out episodes 211 through 214 to hear about supply and demand that's going to be making that happen based on one thing and one thing only. Say it with me now: low inventory. Now, as always, you guys know that I'm here on your side. And in generations past, I see that there are some people that figured out that perhaps timing a purchase to have a better monthly equation made more sense for them. Those type of people were waiting for a dip in prices. That was the logical ebb and flow, the up and down of the real estate market. But I tell you, even if you had a Marty McFly style almanac, and it wasn't about sports, it was about real estate and rent prices. For most people, if you had hindsight and you went and looked in the past, waiting for a dip so that that monthly rent versus buy number was better for you, it still ends up not being as financially better in the long run. Oh, crap. Here I go again with my math and my facts to make my argument. I know I should be doing something crazy and something loud and nuts and different, but if people on social media are going to spew misinformation with crazy loud balloons and streamers about how it's too damn expensive and they can't afford to buy a home and it becomes a giant bitch fest, well, you guys know I'm not a fear monger. I mean, if they want to play the fear game, cool. I can play it too, but I actually play it with facts. So go back and listen to episode 223 on the potential renter's economy that some people are talking about. That's a scary fact. You want to play fear? That's fear. Yeah, if you look at how much it costs to rent per month versus how much it costs to own per month, of course, you're going to look at those numbers and you're going to think you can't afford to do it. But the math says you actually can't afford not to do it, or at least look into creating a game plan. Okay, we're going to look at the math that they used based on what I call the present day variables. And then we'll see how they confuse that singular equation, that present day formula, and say that, well, that's my answer right there, as opposed to looking at the multi-layered, complex calculations. So here it is. Is it currently cheaper to rent than to buy when it comes to your monthly payment? Well, right now in 2024, if you're asking me if it's cheaper to rent a shelter than it is to buy one, for lots of you people out there, the answer is yes. Now, in 2020, it wasn't, but the map has changed. However, if you're asking me, is it currently better to rent than to buy? Not cheaper per month, but better for you. For most of you out there in the long run, hell, even in the medium run, I'm not talking 30 years from now, I'm talking 4, 5, 10 years from now, the math shows a different picture. The monthly quote unquote savings that you get as a renter are far outweighed by the wealth accumulated with the benefits of becoming the master of your domain and owning a piece of the largest payment that you make each month. It's that magic equity and the math of a fixed monthly payment compared to the ever-rising rental payments in this new landlord corporate economy. All right, let's start with the math, and then I'll get into some theories and philosophies. Now, for this particular equation, I'm going to be super fair and conservative. I'm even going to use the lowest common denominator. So you can see for yourself that this mathematical equation is built in actual data and facts. It's not a bait and switch. I'm not telling you, oh, let me do the math for someone. And then you find out later, okay, well, I'm talking about someone with 100 grand saved, a killer salary, and an 800 credit score. No, this equation of renting versus buying, lowest common denominator, someone living paycheck to paycheck, barely making rent, and having a tough time saving. Now, I'm betting that you're somewhere between the bait and switch, $100,000 save, great job, 800 credit score, ready to rock, and this lowest common denominator. I keep saying that because I'm doing the math analogy. So realize if you are above the lowest common denominator, if you're somewhere between paycheck to paycheck, can't make any savings, barely making rent, and $100,000 saved, you're probably somewhere in the middle there. You're going to have even more options when you see that this lowest denominator actually has options where the math works for them as well. The average home price right now is around $400,000, with the average size of that home being approximately 1,800 square feet. Now, to purchase something like that, you're going to go all in, 5% down, 7% mortgage rate. PITI is going to cost you about $3,100 a month. That's approximately. So at the same time, the average U.S. rent for a 900 square foot apartment, half the size, it's about $1,800. So let's say you're living paycheck to paycheck and $1,800 is a stretch for you, but you want to live in that average starter home, $400,000. Well, you look at that $3,100 a month price tag and you realize, geez, I pay $1,800. I got to pay $3,100 to buy that starter home. I'm saving $1,300 a month here. So that's a better deal for me. For those of you not following math, $3,100 minus $1,800 is $1,300. Okay, now here's where the variables come in. If you're living in that 900 square feet because you're living paycheck to paycheck and you can't buy the $400,000 home because, well, $1,300 more a month is way too much to stretch, then you're sitting there going, forget it. I'm done. I'm going to save up. I'm going to wait for interest rates to come down or prices to come down. And then I can figure this out when I've got a little bit more savings. And most importantly, when that math is better on my side. Okay, I'm totally on your side. But I think people haven't given you the full math. Here's the math. What could you save if you're living paycheck to paycheck and you're paying out $1,800 a month in rent? All right, let's say you get crazy motivated and you figure out a way to cut way back on your budget and you save $500 a month, meaning that today, let's say that you magically got the savings for a down payment and closing costs, then you would be cool going from $800, $500 more to $2,300 a month. But that's just saying you would be cool to go out and buy a house right now if you could do that, but you don't have that. So what we're going to do is say, okay, you don't have the savings. $2,300 a month would still be a stretch, and there's no way in hell you can hit that $3,100. So you decide that right now, because you don't have the savings, and it doesn't matter, because if you did, you could only stretch to $2,300, and $3,100 is too much. So now you decide renting is cheaper than buying for my monthly spreadsheet, so I'm going to stay renting, waiting for a dip in the prices or the rates until owning has a monthly number that gets closer to what you can afford right now, which is about $2,300. Well, hopefully then you're getting some good advice from someone and you decide, well, maybe I want to buy someday, so I'm going to start saving. So instead of paying that $2,300, since that doesn't get you anything anyway, you're going to scrimp and save $500 a month, like you're practicing to pay that $2,300 in the future. So what does that savings mean for you for a year while you're waiting? Well, $500 a month, $6,000 a year. Hope you can follow that math, homies. Cool. Let's call that your down payment savings account. So that's your first year. But what happens if we end up doing it for 2 years? The math, even for the lowest common denominator paycheck to paycheck buyer with no savings, this math coming up kills the it's cheaper to rent versus buying, because the equation only thinks about the monthly expense today. $6,000 a year is $12,000 at the end of 2 years, right? Nope, it's not, because you're going to get a rent increase. So I'll be very conservative just for this example and assume that you only got one rent increase in 2 years and it was only $100. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, for this example, I'm doing it that way. So okay, $100 times 12 payments is $1,200. So instead of $12,000, $6,000 twice, your new savings is down to $10,800 for 2 years. Now, in those same 2 years, how much did you spend in rent? 1,800 times 12 months, that's 21,600. And then 1,900 times 12 months, that's 22,800. So grand total in 2 years, you spent $44,400 in rent. That's money that made your landlord richer and that you're never going to see a return on. But like we talked about, doesn't matter. You're stuck. You can't afford it. You can't afford $3,100 a month. So what are you going to do? Well, not to rub salt in your wounds or to pour it into your lemonade, but unfortunately, according to the predictions, you're going to miss out on at least 10% of appreciation in the price of the home if you'd bought a home here in the spring of 2024. Again, for the data behind that number, why we're thinking 10% at minimum, that's episodes 211 through 214 for the forecast. So you lost $44,400 in rent, and your $400,000 home that you would have purchased, it would have got 10% equity. That's $40,000 in equity. So you paid out $44,400 and you lost $40,000 in equity. So in this 2-year plan, it's cheaper monthly to rent than to buy, but you lost $44,400 to your landlord, $40,000 in equity. But again, you're looking at me going, doesn't matter, David. I'm super glad you have a podcast and you think you're cool, old man. Drink. I can't afford $3,100 a month, so it doesn't matter. Okay. Now, once again, I'm going to show a possible answer with math right now for this lowest common denominator scenario, because I want this revolution to help everybody. Some of you out there are not in this situation, but some of you are. And I want to make sure that everybody has a chance at this. But for those of you who are in a better situation than this, I unfortunately hear too many of you talking to friends and family or reaching out to me and saying, oh, this isn't going to work, because you've bought into the present day rent versus buy equation, the present day hype. Oh, it's way too expensive. Renting's way cheaper than buying right now. And unfortunately, I think that a lot of people get caught up at that and they outsmart themselves. The math I'm about to do right now is the worst case scenario. And I love helping the worst case scenario, but I know that many of you with me in your ear holes right now are not in the worst case scenario. Maybe you pay $3,000 a month already in your rent. Maybe you have some savings. You have a 401k you can pull from. Maybe you can afford more a month and you're a really good saver. Maybe you've been thinking about this for a long time, but you've never actually run your own numbers. And some of you out there might even be lucky enough to get a gift from parents or friends or other relatives to help you out with the down payment. Because each of you is totally different out there. What I'm going to show you, or actually, I guess I'm going to tell you because I'm in your ear holes. I'm going to use this $1,800 a month person in the 900 square foot apartment. Now, first of all, let's not forget that 900 square foot apartment at $1,800 a month is half the size of the $400,000 average home in the same neighborhood. So $3,100 a month is a lot more, but of course you'd end up getting double the size of your living space. So instead of trying to make that big leap, which makes the monthly leap $1,800 to $3,100, how about instead of trying to make the big leap from an apartment to a starter home, maybe looking at the more reasonable option that would help get you in the game. This is where we talk about the stepping stone property and using that as a strategy. A $300,000 condo or townhome, that's going to cost you $2,500 a month. Now, I know you're still like, dude, that's still too much, $700 more a month. Plus, that person that I'm making up and I guess kind of doing a character voice right now, plus, Dave, I still got to save the down payment, the closing costs, and it's $700 more a month. What am I going to do? Well, in the last episode, we learned about Pedro. He bought a home with zero down, and that was not a VA loan, which is what most people usually use for it. He just had a special loan program for regular first-time homebuyers that happened to be happening at the time that he bought his home. Now, how did he find out about that? Well, he had a unicorn lender who had the experience to know about this loan product being available and found out that Pedro was qualified. Okay, so let's say that that works in this scenario. What if you could get a condo for $300,000, zero down, and you got the seller to give you a credit that you could use for a 2-1 mortgage interest rate buy down. That would mean that in the first year, because it's a 2-1, it goes down 2 points from 7% to 5%. And then the payment would be $2,100 for the first 12 months. In the second year, the payment would be $2,300. In the second year, at $2,300, that's at 6%. And somewhere in the next couple of years, before it jumps up to 7% in the third year, you're probably going to be able to refinance into the fives, maybe even lower. And that would mean you're locking into a payment somewhere around $2,100 to $2,200 to $2,300 that you could live with for the rest of your life. Now, this is the math for the fictional paycheck to paycheck person who's waiting to save up to buy someday, even though there are options. And I said it before, you don't know what you don't know. It's an option for, I don't know, maybe a 1,200 square foot, 2-bedroom condo and townhome that they could buy in the next few months with a payment that they could handle. And then they would start saving that $44,400 in lost rent that would have happened over the next 2 years. They could start putting it towards their own future, not to mention 10% on a $300,000 condo in the next couple of years. That's $30,000 in equity. So, yes, it's cheaper to stay in your 900 square foot apartment and not buy a single family home double the size. Is it better? Is it financially going to make you more money in the long run? The problem with rent versus buy is people get caught in the actual current monthly payment math and they don't look at the long run. Now, I just figured all this out off the top of my bald ass head, and I figured out how to at least give an option to a person living paycheck to paycheck with no savings. And maybe they can't get the zero down, so maybe they have to save up for a few years. But great, at least now they're on the right track doing the savings. And as the market shifts and adjusts, they've got a unicorn team with them to help them shift and adjust with it and take advantage. That's what I could do off the top of my bald ass head. Imagine what the right experience pro could show you with your situation, which is likely somewhere above this lowest common denominator paycheck to paycheck scenario. This is just math. There are tons of other philosophies and financial theories, and not to mention emotional reasons for people just letting the fear trap them into staying a renter longer than they want to be. Several years ago, even before the podcast started, I mean, years ago, it's like 10 years ago, maybe, I read an article from a Harvard study looking at just the financial side of owning versus renting, just the straight numbers from these Harvard nerds. And they listed these 5 fiscal reasons for owning versus renting. Number one, this one was kind of interesting. Not a lot of people talk about this. It's the best leveraged investment available to you. Now, economists love to create mathematical theories on investing, saying how to, quote, use other people's money, unquote, to make money. Leverage is not only the best way to push a rock, right? You stick the stick in it and you, weird, caveman thing. Nope, nobody, just me. Anyway, leverage is the best way for you to do any sort of investing because it means less of a capital investment for you. Thus, you can get in the game earlier. The second thing they said, you are paying for housing whether you rent or buy. That's kind of simple. I've been saying that forever. In today's economy, that's why I'm discussing buying a home with you as a rent replacement strategy instead of your HGTV dream shopping. I know that sounds like some sour ass lemonade, but that's the way you got to buy in today's particular economy. The number 3 thing from the Harvard report, home payments are a forced savings account. The money you pay monthly, some of it goes towards your principal. Not a lot at the beginning, but eventually it does. And your home grows like any other investment or retirement fund, and it historically averages 3 to 4% a year. It's a forced savings account. Number 4, they mentioned the tax benefits. Like I said, this is 10 years ago. Tax laws have changed recently, but one thing policymakers love to do with the laws is try to help homeowners. So there might not be a ton today, as many as there were in the past, but you never know. They could come back. Check with your tax person to see how home ownership could positively affect your tax situation. And then number 5, another one that people kind of go, what? I never knew that, but it's true. The data's there. Buying a home is a hedge against inflation. Everyone thinks that inflation just crushes everything in the economy. The one thing that stays stable during high inflation times, and the numbers, they're right there in black and white, housing. When inflation is hit over the last 75 years, home ownership is the one asset that either stays right even or it appreciates during these giant times of economic suffrage. Is that right? No. Isn't suffrage woman's right to vote? I know that. Why did I even say that? There's even more data to help ease your fears and stop thinking that these present day monthly numbers are something that can defeat this data. I'm going to drop the knowledge and the truth bombs with more math in just a moment. But please, this is the time of the podcast when I ask you, if this is helping you in any way, please, please, please go to Spotify, go to Apple and write a review for the podcast. The revolution is going. We're helping people from $175,000, $200,000 all the way up to $2 and $3 million. We want to help as many people as we can. Please take the time and write a review. I know it's stupid, but there's no views. There's no followers. There's no subscriptions on podcasts. So the more reviews we have, then the Spotify and Apple and podcast gods think that I actually know what I'm talking about. And if you're looking for a unicorn team yourself, howtobuyahome.com. All the stuff is there and it's all free. Reaching out to a unicorn, same thing, free. You check them out. If you like them, great. If you don't, whatever. I don't care. And there's three different phases on the website. You can get the starter kit. You can ask me an individual question, or you can just say, I'm ready for a unicorn. Okay. Last thoughts on rent versus buy before I go home and call it a day. Many of these thoughts and philosophies are old. You know, old, like me. Drink! And they've stood the test of time. But most importantly, they stood the test of hindsight, running the numbers and proving the math works. I know that the math sucks in 2024. But one thing that has historically been there is that no matter who you are when you're buying a home, the first 3 to 5 years of your mortgage payment, if you think that sucks, the good news is that's the worst it's ever going to feel because it's fixed. Now, you're also going to feel better about it because you're young and you should hopefully be making more money as you get older. Rents always go up, but your payment's always fixed. And that widening gap between the rent that you paid and that fixed, continual, long-term payment, that's going to make things feel easier as the years progress. Another thing is equity in the home is the number one way for the middle class to accumulate and grow wealth of any kind. And this is for anybody. If you just want to live a nice, chill, balanced life, you don't want to be some fatty entrepreneur. You just want to have a simple life, a balanced life. Well, the sooner that you exchange your biggest monthly payment, your payment to a landlord, and you exchange that in for a payment to yourself and your own future, the more equity that you will have to cash out later, because buying into a home is a forced savings account. You create that equity, and the equity acquires for the people who just want to own a home, have a job, and make a payment. This is the number one way for the middle class to accumulate their wealth. And if you're a little more aggressive or a little more, you've got bigger plans than that, cool. You can use this first home as that stepping stone. But I heard Barbara Corcoran say it, you got to get a trading card. You got to get your first trading card. And maybe you end up using the ADU principles from a few episodes ago, or other investing principles to accumulate wealth. But all those investment plans and strategies, they all need capital to begin. And your first trading card is your home. So the sooner you start, well, then the larger your stepping stone will become. And it's something that could maybe you could work with the next 3, 5, or 10 years. And finally, I tell this to everybody, and this is something I learn every day, even at my 53-year-old drink. I said old and I meant me. Gosh, you guys should be hammered by now. You don't know what you don't know. I'm not saying that you don't know that this is easier than you think. Come on down and buy a house. It's nothing. No, it's something. But I've seen in the past that a lot of people, because they don't know what they don't know, they end up going into deep, dark, freaky, harsh places in their mind, and they get more scared than they should. So in this new economy, you absolutely owe it to yourself to be informed and not scared. Protect yourself. Fear paralyzes your mind, and in this case, it could paralyze your bank account. 18 years. I've been helping people do this for 18 years. My helping first-time homebuyers is an adult, 18 years old. And the one thing that I've heard over 18 years helping people is, damn, Sidoni, if I had known all this, I could have quit renting years ago. Okay, I'm in your ear holes, so now you know. No more excuses. You can do this.